This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us from Concordia Publishing House. We're going to be talking about a little tiny book in the New Testament for the next half hour of the program. It's a pretty big situation, probably a rather common situation among the very earliest Christians. A conflict, one that might have been otherwise unresolvable between Onesimus, a slave, and Philemon, his former master. And Paul writes this letter to Philemon begging that he forgive Onesimus. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum. It's called Growing in Christ. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Pastor. How are you today?
I'm doing well. And you?
Same here. Great Monday afternoon.
The basic message that Paul has in this note that he writes to Philemon is forgive Onesimus. Why did Onesimus need Philemon's forgiveness?
Great question. It's a wonderful one chapter book of the Bible, a note, as you say, from Paul. Onesimus was a slave, and he must have done something to his master, and maybe sinned against him, stole something. It's not clear, but that has caused a parting between them so much that the slave felt he had to run away, got away from his master. And Paul has come to know this runaway slave, and he has come, as he says here, to be like his father to him. He's come to faith, the slave has, in his time with Paul, and this was when Paul was in prison. And he's gotten to know the slave, he's gotten to know him and share with him the gospel of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins, and now thinks of him as a brother, a beloved brother, he says. And he's really imploring the master, to Philemon, to consider him not just as a slave, but now as a brother in Christ. And he comes to him and appeals to him in verse 17. He says, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you or owes you anything, then Paul says, charge that to my account. I'm writing this with my own hand. I'll repay it. And then he reminds him, Philemon, that he owes something to Paul. And he says, yes, brother, I want some benefit from you and the Lord. And he reminds them of their relationship with Christ. And he says, refresh my heart in Christ. And he says, I'm writing to you, confident of your obedience, knowing that you will do even more than I say. He's really kind of setting him up to do the right thing, a brother encouraging another brother. And then he says he's going to come and visit. And so he's really asked him to receive him back. Paul's going to send this slave, this runaway slave, back to him. And he wants him to be received not just as a slave, but as a brother in Christ, and for them to live in that new relationship. And it's just a few short verses here in the book of Philemon, but so much about brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, about disputes and resolutions, and ultimately the big message underscoring this text and our partner text, all about anger and grudge holding and the forgiveness that God calls us to have. But there are just some wonderful layers in these texts where we see not you can't say foreshadows, but those that appear to be Christ-like in what they do. Paul here is saying, "I'll pay anything that he owes you." He's shining the light of Christ here, being salt and light by saying, "I'll take on his debt. You just receive him back." So there's a lot to talk about here.
What is the passage, what particular verses are we talking about making connection between Philemon and Matthew's fifth chapter?
Good question. This is part of this 5 weeks where the gospel readings in the three-year lectionary have us going through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So last week we talked about the salt and the light. This week it is Matthew 5, same chapter, but now verses 21 to 26, where Jesus simply preaches about anger and how we deal with someone we're angry with, a brother. And we've tried very hard to take these teachings in his sermon and pair them with a Bible story where we can show to our children in Sunday school this teaching sort of acted out with real people, people like you and I, so that the children can see how this works in life. And this week, the Philemon story really lines up well with this preaching and teaching of Jesus in Matthew 5 on anger.
Jesus uses this term brother, and there's a connection with the Philemon passage, too, because Paul understands this quite well, that fellow Christians are, in fact, of one family. How does Jesus apply this to our living together and the inevitable conflict, the inevitable sin that will pass between us and be committed one against another?
Oh, a great question. You know, both Jesus and Paul understand is all over in the New Testament. This reference to brother is really in a spiritual context. We're not talking about blood relation here, unless it specifically says he's the brother of the son of James or John, or, you know, there's some of those references. But here, typically, in the New Testament, it's this sense of another disciple of Christ, someone else in the church community and really in the family of God. And we talk about that a lot in Sunday school. And it's significant to understand this family imagery because it's true. We've been brought into the family of God through water and the Word. We've been made sons of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. So we are brothers and sisters to Christ, he to us, but also one to another. And it helps us then in this text really understand more deeply this problem of anger. We're not talking about something theoretical. We're talking about real anger that we all have, and we're talking about our response to that and how we deal with anger, especially anger against another brother or sister in Christ. And that's really what Jesus is talking about, and that's what Paul is kind of living out and urging his brother to live out, to not let the devil tempt us into committing our own sin by brooding over the anger. Not wrong to be angry. It's the sin is when we act on that anger and place judgment and take out what we think is the rightful punishment for the wrong that was done to us or to another.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you, because I think nowadays many Christians would assume that Jesus, and therefore also St. Paul, would condemn anger or would forbid all anger. Explain that.
Well, I think anger, we see in Scripture that there is anger, and we have the prohibition, do not let your anger be a pretext for evil, that it doesn't cause you to sin. Certainly, when we see something unjust, we see somebody harmed, something that isn't right, we do feel anger. But this gets to how we speak about vocation and our place and calling, because even in the Small Catechism, Luther helps us understand this, that the office of parent, whoever holds those other offices that fall under that authority of parent, the policeman, the teacher, the doctor, the governor, they have been given rights to deal with sin, to deal with injustice through a punishment or through trial, through imprisonment, whatever those things are. And so that's not sinful. What's sinful is for you or I to act on what we see as unjust outside of our vocation and to take matters into our own hands. And why this is so serious is because in it we're denying what has already been done for that other person and for us. We're denying that sin, that wrong, has already been paid for by Christ on the cross. And that's the seriousness here. And if you look at the Matthew text, he doesn't say, you know, anger, well, with this or that, but he doesn't make any kind of distinction about little wrongs or big wrongs or, you know, things. It's simply talking about anger and about holding a grudge and acting out on that because we're taking into our hands what hasn't been given to us, and we're also, in doing that, denying what Christ has done for the person who sinned and for us by dying on the cross.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. When we come back, another 10 minutes with her on this Monday afternoon, February the 7th. After that, it's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. We're going to spend the first part of that hour with Craig Hawkins and Dr. Alvin Schmidt. Craig will join us to talk about an investigative story by The New Yorker into the Church of Scientology. A lot of people have been curious about the Church of Scientology. Apparently, allegedly, the FBI is investigating some kind of crimes that have been committed by high church officials there. Then Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest from Illinois College. We'll talk about the Muslim Brotherhood. Who are the Muslim Brotherhood? We know that they're taking part in talks with the vice president of Egypt. We know that they're taking part in the protests there in Egypt's capital. But what role do they play there in Egypt and elsewhere? Then Dr. Andrew Steinman will join us in the second hour. For the last half hour, we'll continue our series on women in the Bible. We'll talk about Huldah, the Old Testament prophetess.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Well, I think that's a very good question.
Check out our new YouTube video, Good Question, issuesetc.org, and click support. Good questions, better answers, issues, etc. Watch the short YouTube video, Good Question, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Well, you know, that's a good question.
That's a very good question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
No, that's a good question.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona, St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio, Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington, Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana, Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky, and St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We base our conversations every week with her
on Concordia Publishing House's Sunday School curriculum called Growing in Christ. It is, you can see what we're doing here today, making this connection between the teaching of Christ, which is somewhat abstract, not completely abstract, but it could be interpreted that way, with the actual example from another place in Scripture, in this case Philemon, Paul's admonition to Philemon to forgive Onesimus, his escaped slave, and receive him back as a Christian brother, and in this way read all of Scripture as it is intended to be read, centered upon Christ and his forgiving work for us at the cross. That's why we say Christ-centered, cross-focused, and that applies as well to growing in Christ. Find out more about this Sunday School curriculum. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Let's talk a bit about Philemon, and I don't want to toss us both in over our heads on the issue of slavery, because that's that one actually requires some very careful discernment and study to figure out what Paul is speaking about here. But it is interesting to note that Paul basically says, I'm sending him back to you. Now, he's still your slave, okay? But I want you to receive him as a brother. He doesn't preclude the fact that he's going to go back and serve in the house of Philemon, Onesimus is. But he's now going to return as a Christian brother, which I would presume from the way Paul talks about it, he wasn't before.
Yeah, I think that comes out from the text that somehow in his leaving his master and running into Paul, a conversion has happened through Paul sharing his faith and perhaps others. And we could go on and on about ancient slavery and the differences between modern slavery. Maybe just a little bit to understand some things that we do know, that in the ancient world, many people were slaves. Maybe they were attached to a larger household and where they had some specific duties. And in doing those duties, they received care as a member of the household. They may at times have been abused, but that wasn't the overarching practice. That wasn't the default situation in that day. And it differs a little bit from modern slavery. Maybe someone owed a debt or they were paying something off. It wasn't this sort of abusive, brutal kind of thing. But there was a greater expectation on the master to provide for that slave and his family. So that's one thing to understand. But here, Paul, he's acknowledging that Onesimus has been a slave who'd run away, and now he's become a Christian, and he's asking Philemon to take him back and not to punish him or retain him as a slave, but really to receive him as a brother and disciple in Christ. So he's obviously told the runaway, who has much to fear, he has sinned against his master by leaving. He's telling him, go back, and he's kind of paving the way, and he's offering to pay any debts that this slave owes. So in essence, really could free him from his need to be a slave, but saying, go back now and be part of this household. And he then appeals to the slave owner, Philemon, to do the right and proper thing. He could command and bring his will against the slave for his ill, but he's encouraging them to come together and to be in the household again as brothers in Christ and to care for one another in their various vocations. And it's a very interesting kind of thing here. And Paul really, in doing this, is offering this a better way for them to live. Instead of being received back as a slave, he can be received back in a greater way as a brother. The slave will still get the same provisions, probably do the same work, but he's not going to be under this relationship of bondage. And now there are these two men serving each other in love.
And I don't know if you came across this in your research, but under Roman law, one of the penalties for a runaway slave, if the crime was great enough, especially if he stole from his master, was crucifixion. So one thing could get you on the cross, and very few things in Roman law could get you on the cross. They didn't. Mm-hmm. They reserved that brutal execution for those kinds of things. And I just find it interesting, simply as background, that under Roman law, this Onesimus could have been crucified.
Absolutely.
And I can't imagine that's not in the background with Paul saying, look, you are not going to do this because Christ has been crucified for all three of us.
That's right. And that is the beautiful gospel message in all this. Paul knew what he was asking. He knew this could be it, and the slave knew it could be it for him, because by law, he could have been punished the ultimate way, to be killed for his crime and killed on a cross, as you say. And Paul really is making this appeal to Christ, and that's the tie-in back to Jesus' teaching on anger. It's already been forgiven. Christ has forgiven you, and he's forgiven the one who sinned against you, and he's done it on the cross. He's paid the price for your sins. And Paul, you know, making the appeal, which should be enough, and then Paul says he's going to model this. Let me pay his debt. Whatever he owes you monetarily, I'll pay for it. Just receive him back as a brother. And that is what Christ did for the runaway slave. It's what he did for the owner. It's what he did for you and I. And that's why when we're sinned against, Christ asks us not to act in anger, but to be reconciled. And reconcile in both directions. When someone sins, when we sin against someone else, it should be on us to go to them and reconcile this, ask for their forgiveness, seek to make it right. And when someone sins against us, as God's children, we should go to them and make it right, reconcile it, rather than bear out some sort of punishment or revenge or do something to get even, which is the world's way. Why? Because Christ died on the cross. He took our punishment for all of our sin, for all of our wrongs against everyone and against ultimately our Father in heaven. Paid for that on the cross so that we are reconciled completely. And that's what this lesson is all about, the reconciliation of us to the Father because of Christ, who paid the price on the cross for us.
Looking at those passages that we're tying together with the Onesimus account in Matthew chapter 5, one might be led to say, you know, if we really lived this way as Christians, in constant awareness of the sins we have committed against one another, constant reconciliation of those who have sinned against us, just as we pray for in the Lord's Prayer, which is really nothing more than the Lord's Prayer in action, if we did this, we'd spend all our time forgiving one another. I mean, I'm forgiving you, you're forgiving me. Isn't that kind of the point that Jesus is trying to make?
Yeah, he is. And it changes the way we live. And it's a tough thing to even think this way because of the way the world operates. It's all about getting even and getting my due. And, you know, that's how the world thinks. But here in the Bible, it is a different way. It is a different way that Jesus is preaching. And there's a beautiful thing if you think about this in the context of our worship, because it's directly connected to how we get along with others in the congregation. And this teaching really doesn't allow us to come to church and hold a grudge with the guy that we disagreed with at the voters meeting or with the person on the church's staff that we didn't like, you know, how they're doing something or whatever our grudges might be, because we come to God's house, and there he gives us his body and blood, that very body and blood that suffered death in hell, and were raised to new life. And Christ has told us in his teaching, and now we have this before us in church, that he holds no grudges. He doesn't look for vengeance, and he's forgiven us. So everyone for whom he does this, that is all our brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, they're not judged by Christ, but they're forgiven. And so for us, that's how we have to view the person in the pew next to us. And that's hard to do because we're so full of sin. And Christ died for those sins too. But that is what he's calling us to forgive, to reconcile, no matter the sin, no matter the grievance. And that divine service and that holy communion then aren't just between me and God or you and God. It's the fellowship of all who are redeemed, and we all belong to that. And so we ought to act in that way with one another in the family of God.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday School curriculum, Growing in Christ. You'll find a link to it at our website under the Listen on Demand page. Pam, thanks.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Monday afternoon, Craig Hawkins, founder of AIM Apologetics Information Ministry, joins us. He's a former co-host of the Bible Answer Man radio program. We're going to talk about an investigative story by The New Yorker about the Church of Scientology. Maybe the FBI is involved. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will join us. He'll explain to us what the Muslim Brotherhood is in Egypt and elsewhere in the world. And then we'll continue our series on women in the Bible. We'll go to the Old Testament to Huldah, the one and only true Old Testament prophetess. Dr. Andrew Steinman will be our guest. That's Hour 2. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.